Welcome to Pottercast, the official podcast of the Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
You hear that, Ern? The Leaky Cauldron.
And now, Leaky's own, Melissa and Ellie.
Welcome, Potter Progeny, to Pottercast number 33. In this episode, we have a modcast about the Dursleys, a lot of craziness in the mailbag as usual, and a lot more. There are a lot of clues about what's coming up on Pottercast the next couple of weeks in our wrap-up at the end. We're going through not so much a transition, but we've got some new stuff kicking around. We also have the beginning of our second impersonations contest, starting with this broadcast. Find the details in the wrap-up as well. And we also have some information about when our next call-in show will be. So we hope you enjoy it. Now, it's the beginning of the month again, so if you haven't, we would really appreciate it if you went over to Pottercast.com and used the form at the top of the page to vote for us at Podcast Alley, if you like. Thanks so much, guys, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Listening to the news? Again? As if a normal boy cares what's on the news.
Hello, everyone. Here's the latest Harry Potter news headlines for this first week of April. There was some good book-related news this week as Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince was named Book of the Year at the British Book Awards that were held recently in London. Congratulations! Author J.K. Rowling attended this event to pick up her award, and when she was interviewed, she did decline revealing the title of Book 7, Drat, but she did say that she's enjoying writing this last book in the Harry Potter series, and it is coming along nicely. Actor Jason Isaacs, who portrays Lucius Malfoy in the Potter films, also attended this event, where he presented the Popular Fiction Award. You can see multiple media now from this event, including some new, superb high-res photos of Joe, who looks gorgeous, at these awards, and you can see them in our galleries. The biggest news of interest to fans this week did have to come from jkrowling.com, which is the author's official website. It came in the sense that the door to her office section on the site has now been opened. For those who have never experienced this before, there is usually a Do Not Disturb sign hanging on the office door, and in a rare event, this sign is now gone. Readers have to solve a kind of challenging puzzle to open the door, and once you do, well, we don't want to spoil it too much, but it is another fun and challenging activity waiting for you. At the time of this recording, the door does remain open, and readers who take part in this activity are still awaiting some further developments stemming from this. While in the past, the door opening on her website has always meant some new information regarding upcoming books may be on the way, and while we do not know if this means new Book 7 info is coming, whatever it is, stay tuned to LeakyNews.com as we will bring any updates the moment it happens. Turning to film news now, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire was deemed favorite movie at the Kids' Choice Awards from Nickelodeon. The Harry Potter novels also won as best book. Congratulations! Speaking of Goblet of Fire, we do have a few pieces of news relating to the release of the DVD for this movie. Actors Rupert Grint and James and Oliver Phelps were in Rome for a Harry Potter movie marathon that was held in conjunction with the release of the Goblet of Fire DVD in Italy recently, and we now have some video of them attending this event where they met some very happy fans and answered a few questions. Also, an Australian morning show that was promoting the release of the Goblet DVD in that country broadcast a new set visit video that contained some new actor interviews. Dan Radcliffe, who plays Harry, notes that if he doesn't have a successful film career, he will turn to TV news and become a weatherman. And Emma said that she just filmed a scene for Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, where she, as Hermione, blasts Ron and slams him against the back wall with a spell for making a patronizing, sexist remark. You go, girl. You can find the links to watch all these videos on our website. As we said, filming is now ongoing for Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, and we saw a new release date rumor for this film. Box Office Mojo updated their date to say that the release date for Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix was to be July 13th of 2007. While this is a possibility, of course, please consider this still a rumor, as it has not yet been verified by Warner Brothers, and we will update with more on this when we can, of course. Well, for the latest and the best Harry Potter news on the web, you can find it all at LeakyNews.com, which is updated daily. There is another jam-packed show ahead, so let's get right to it. Enjoy!
Welcome, guys, to Pottercast number 33.
33.
33.
Double threes.
Not,
double threes.
If it was triple threes,
wow. We'd be a little old.
Hit a jackpot of some sort.
We'll have to play those numbers in Vegas. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I don't think there are threes in slot machines. It's sevens, right?
It's sevens. But there are a lot of different things. You know, there's sevens on some machines, there's fives on others, there's bars, there's cherries, Oh, I could go on.
Awesome. Oh, man. Well, maybe... do they let you take video cameras inside casinos?
They do. They let you take cameras and video cameras, but you can't point them toward where the live games are going on, the cards and the craps and the roulette. You can't do that, but if...
Well, like, we can take video of us playing the slots?
Yeah.
Sweet.
And pictures next to the slots and that kind of thing.
Awesome.
We can take a picture of the Muggle Boys next to the slots to use as blackmail.
They're not going to be anywhere near them.
Come here, guys. We've got special permission. Just stand right there. Smile.
It'd be funnier to have a very bad Photoshop of them next to the slot machines looking sad.
There is plenty for them to do around that hotel. Yeah. There's the Irish pub. Oh, wait, they can't do that.
Oh, darn.
But are you kidding me? If we make them feel too bad, they're going to have so many little volunteer friends for the week.
Yeah, that's my...
entertaining them till their heart's content.
That's my concern.
We're going to have a great time, so...
We are, and the RSVPs are still coming in, so if you haven't done it yet, send an email to hplive@gmail.com and make sure that you tell us if you're coming or if you're planning on coming to the live podcast on July 29th at the JW Marriott in Las Vegas, Nevada, how many people are in your party and who is registered and who is not. So if like you're 5 people and 3 people are registered, be sure to note that. We need a tally so that we can plan how many people we need to accommodate if there's too many. There is a plan in place that will satisfy everybody if there's too many people who show up. But if you don't tell us that you're coming, we won't think we need that plan and we won't do it. So... send your emails.
Yes, please. Very important.
Well, good stuff. We got Vegas out of the way for this week.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about the Vegas last week.
Yeah.
I'm feeling so sad for everybody who can't go.
I'm not, because we're gonna have so much video and so much camera and so much...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So much footage and a ton of podcasts. You guys who are not going, don't worry. We are planning on giving you lots of stuff to listen to and see.
Absolutely. And I did... We don't have to use this if you disagree, but I have looked into a way to broadcast the podcast live online as it's happening for people.
Ooh.
Through this little service that we used to use back in high school for our football games.
Will it handle as many people as we need?
Oh, yeah. It's a service that does this for live events that we wouldn't be bigger than anything that they've ever seen before.
Well, then we need to like make a promise that when people hear that, they'll let us make the MP3 that goes out onto the feed and not use that to start passing around like crazy, because it's going to be fixed and it'll be much better sounding.
Well, no, it's streaming actually is how it works. Yeah, they can't really download it if they want to.
Yeah, but you can record it. I can record streaming audio on my computer. People can record it. There's, you know, so just. If we provide that service, just hang on for the MP3. It'll be up very soon after the podcast, we promise.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic if that can happen, because I'd love to talk to the Squeers and everybody that can't be there, so it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
It'd be cool.
It'd be great.
Really cool.
So, okay, let's do Harry Potter news this week. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Harry Potter stuff.
What's Harry Potter stuff?
Yeah. I know, I'm kidding.
There was a minor thing that happened, you know, just a kind of minor thing. That crazy blonde lady.
All the time.
Yeah, she was up to it again.
Okay,
before
anything, have you seen the pictures from the British Book Awards?
She looked gorgeous. My goodness.
Gosh. There's this one picture that we put up late that's like has her like turn like looking over her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
That I swear is the most beautiful picture of her that's ever been taken. I don't know what, and that wasn't like made up like with the Tatler. This was like, you know, how she actually looked in person. Mm-hmm. So I think with all people who aren't rich and then become rich, there's a time when you become not only comfortable in your life, but you found the right stylist, you figure out, you know, what looks best, and you just become so... It's happened with a lot of stars if you look over trajectories. Mm-hmm. And I think Jo's hit that point where she just looks the best she's ever looked, and it's nice. It's nice to see it all working for her.
It is.
No,
and
she's
very
pretty lady.
Yes, I agree. I think she's also just comfortable. I mean, she's at a good point in her life. Life is so good for her. I just think that inner happiness, I know it sounds dorky, but that inner happiness in her is just showing through it. She just radiates with she's gorgeous.
Yeah, she really does.
Yeah, you know?
Yes. Awesome. See, I would know this better than anybody because, as you've all seen by now, at Melissa and Emerson's wedding, I got to walk down the aisle with Joan.
Oh, yeah.
As being the accompanying usher to her bridesmaidness.
Well, she requested that. As Noe Lover 42, she made sure.
Yes, well, that girl knows. That girl knows what's up.
I love how Joe was in the wedding party, but Neil wasn't.
No, Neil, you got a good seat, though.
He did. And I tell you what, Neil was having... We had a good time back over in the bar, so they were fun. We were walking out at the reception. It was fun.
You were in the party soon.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it was awesome. It was
Neil,
great.
For all of you guys not familiar with him, big partier. Yeah. So he and Sue...
Those anesthesiologists, man, they can...
I know.
They can really shake it up.
Those seemingly mild-mannered doctors. Woohoo!
Yeah, and they never pass out. They know better.
No.
Because that's work. Really work
okay.
At home.
I hope that you all had fun this April Fool's. I really hope.
Yes.
Because
it was brilliant.
We had so much fun. But the thing that really cracked me up was everybody saying, when is this going to end? I'm bored. When is it going to end? Guys, it's April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Not like minute or hour or second. It's April Fool's Day. But we had so much fun with the Muggle Boys. I don't know. The whole thing was just hilarious. And you broke our servers.
You did. We haven't had that. That really takes us back to when we used to break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's because our forum server is only on one server, whereas the other ones are balanced. And so it wouldn't happen on the main site, but it would happen on the server. And the forum thing was such a last-minute addition that we didn't stop to think that, wait a second, our site is going to break. And sure enough.
Yeah. Boom.
Well, I mean, the Chamber of Secrets forum is such a small forum, and we didn't really
think little tiny
shutting
little
that down and telling them to come over to us would really have any consequence.
They shut down for the day.
Yeah.
It was like a perfect storm of server explosions.
I think the Chamber of Secrets forum is a whole building of computers.
Yeah, so.
We're on a very pretty little shiny machine, but it is machine singular.
And they're on, but they're in like...
Machine farm.
Yeah, well... So we had a ball. I mean, when we can't poke fun at ourselves, you can't have fun at all.
Yes. Well, you guys did great work on that stuff.
Wow.
Working your little tails off. It was hilarious.
I got to write a wall of shame.
Yeah,
you
writing
it.
That was so
shame.
Funny. It was hilarious.
It made me so happy because it's something we don't do on Leaky.
I know. Maybe we should one day.
But those were real emails, though? That's
oh,
the part
oh,
that
yeah.
me out.
Every single one of them came into MSN Forever at Gmail. I'm sitting there going, you guys are just trying to get on this page, aren't you? You're just trying. And we got hundreds, lunatic.
That's craziness.
And we also got over 500, probably more, but I don't have the final count, at the IM. We left an IM up all day.
Oh, God, yeah, it's a hilarious picture.
Wow, yeah, it was poor Andrew there. He's, like, getting buried by him, swamped.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Everybody's directing their complaints to Andrew at staff.
Yeah, poor
which
guy.
Doesn't exist, Andrew at staff.leakymuck.com.
Oh, you tricksy.
It doesn't exist because I didn't want him to get swamped.
That would have been funny, too.
Yeah, would have been very funny. Anyway, oh, well. April Fool's was a blast, and hopefully next week we can outdo ourselves.
Yeah.
I don't know. Getting fakely married is
pretty hard
big.
To top.
There are people who really believed it.
You guys, there's a big ship for you guys out there, I guess. So I don't know.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I love Emerson and all, but I need something different.
Yeah. No younger men.
No. Well,
she's not saying that. It's
19
him.
Is pushing it. I gotta say.
Yeah.
19 is pushing it.
And you'd have Aaron Tuens all up on your stuff.
All up on my stuff, indeed. Oh, poor Erin, I like her a lot, so I'm not taking your man, Erin. Don't worry about it.
Well, geez, what else, much what? Else happened other than the big website update?
No,
with
we
Joe?
Didn't talk about the website update yet.
No, there was that minor little thing.
Well,
that...
Joe is the most evil person alive. She's got hundreds of thousands of Harry Potter fans taking, like, a wizarding SAT.
I love that woman. Let's explain to him, Wes. On her website, she has her office or her room of requirement. There's usually a sign that hangs on there that says, do not disturb. This week, poof, the sign was gone. And it was quite the trick to get in there. Then we had to do that. What was that test called? What was it?
Wombat.
This is
an ordinary magic basic aptitude test.
Is that actually in the books, though? I think that is.
I've heard it somewhere before. It's not the first time.
I think it was
time.
In book 6.
I think it...
God, we suck.
I don't know. I should have looked that up, but...
Yes, you've got to start
sure
studying.
It's in book 6.
Trivia challenge in Lumos, so you have to start studying.
Well, no, after...
See, I'm knocking out two birds with one stone here. I'm on my exercise regime. I am working out two Harry Potter books on CD.
Cool.
trying out the Stephen Fry version for the first time. Let me tell you, it's good stuff.
I actually might have an announcement sometime soon relating to that kind of thing, but I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to jinx it, but...
Well, that was a good tease right there.
Yeah.
It was.
I haven't told anybody about it yet.
That's news to me.
That taking that test, though, felt to me was like an exercise in like brushing up, because there were some animals that I had forgotten about and some other plants and things and potions that I had forgotten about. So for me, that was a good refresher course.
Yeah.
I was just going through old things just this week, and I found my old Fantastical Beasts and Where to Find Them and Quidditch Throughout the Ages that I have to brush up on as well.
That test would have stumped Steve.
I think so. I wondered, though. I thought, man, maybe she's been paying attention or talking to Steve, because there were like two of them. I had no idea. None.
Incredible. Oh, two of them. There were many of them that I was just like, well, all right.
I wish they made Harry Potter seen it that hard, because...
Oh, that game is
as cool as that game was, it's too easy.
But it just showed you how she pays attention to the A, obsessed, B, adult, because... Under a certain age, you do not know these things.
My child got very frustrated. It was just too hard for him. It was just too. It was an adult. It was not.
She knows the kind of people who are going to sit and take that test are the kind of people who are probably a little bit older.
That's true. But there was something. I don't know what is a tropozal and some of these other plants. The names. I struggle enough with names as it is. But some of these, I was like, what is this?
Yeah. No idea.
No.
Oh, wow.
But we're waiting for our results, and we're hopeful we'll get them soon, and she's just, you rock.
Do you think it was an April Fool's joke?
No.
I can't imagine what the joke is she fooled us into taking this test for no reason. I don't think she'd give us a key. Clearly those keys were like encoded, whatever, keys for X many people, so they are going to correspond to something.
Well, here we are absolutely dating the show, but...
Yeah.
Because by release, we may know whether or not it was. My guess is, I still think that it is.
Do you
still think that it's a joke. Because and if it's not a joke, then maybe it was a lost opportunity to really mess with millions of people.
But I think that so many people would be mad that they spent all that time and that energy and stuff. Not that she wouldn't do it because it would make people mad. I just don't think she likes to really screw with the fans. She likes to have them have fun and have them figure things out and laugh about it. But I don't think she would do something that was completely pointless.
Well, the quiz was still fun.
It was fun, but...
I mean, people take quizzes for no reason all the time about Harry Potter.
Yeah, but it's different.
Yeah. No, I mean, every single time that she's opened that door, we have gotten new information.
Right.
That has been... So I do not believe that she's going to change course. I think that's her plan with that whole office, is to actually give us... information. Now, I'm hopeful that we're going to get the title, just because so many obsessive fans that we are. We zoomed in on that newspaper on her desk, on there, and it kind of it said like Harry Potter, and we all kind of decided that it says and Book 7. So hopefully, we're hoping, Joe, we want the title.
Well, that would make sense too, in that there's only going to be so many more reasons for her to open up that door.
Yeah.
So if she has to spread out the book title into two or more openings of the door, then that's nice, and that's just a little more fun along the way.
Absolutely.
While there's still opportunities to do that.
Yeah. Oh, God, guys, it really is all coming to an end, isn't it?
And that just makes me sadder than I can say.
No, I refuse to think of it that way. I just think of it as that we've still got a way to go yet.
Yeah.
You know?
We have a lot of fun to have still, and with the two movies that are left, and, three movies that are left, but after the book, there'll be two, probably.
Yeah.
And then the new Harry Potter TV series on the WB. To be announced in 4 or 5 years.
What do you think about this rumored release date, 7/13/07, for the movie, not the book, the movie?
I was really surprised by that, because I thought, if anything, the book would come out in the summer.
Me too.
I can't...
Wait, for the movie?
Yeah. Box office Mojo, which is pretty reliable, which is why we report this stuff.
Right.
Are you talking about books, the sixth one or the seventh one?
The fifth one.
Fifth one, Order of the Phoenix.
Order of the Phoenix, 7/13/07, which would really squash the 7/7/07 rumor.
Yes, it would.
Because there's no way they're releasing a book right before a movie.
It would be pandemonium. It would be total... I can't even imagine that. I can't.
And I know people think that that would be like Cowtown to corporate whatever. No, I think it's only smart not to... Sure. Cause that kind of havoc. You can't split people's national attention into the book and the movie. You know, give it a couple of months.
Confused.
Yeah.
It'd be so hard to run an effective campaign for anything other than just Harry Potter month.
Yeah. I mean, look at this year. This year was manic, but perfect. In July, there was the book, and then in November, we had the film. There was a perfect amount of time. So if that's when the exactly. film's coming out, then the book, I mean, book three came out in September.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would she put it out, like maybe September 1st?
Oh, that would be cool.
That would be.
That'd be neat, yeah.
You know? I don't know, though, because is that a holiday in the UK? Because isn't that usually like our Labor Day weekend? Or is that before?
I don't know. I don't think it's a holiday in the UK.
Is it Flag Day?
I don't know.
No, John, it's not.
I just wanted to say Flag Day.
I know.
Who has Flag Day anyway? What? Is that Canada?
Don't we have Flag Day?
I think we have Flag Day.
But it's not like a national big deal.
Like, cities always have, like, Flag Day. I don't know. We have Flag Day in Ohio.
I think Flag Day is a big deal somewhere. I think it's Canada. If we have any Canadian listeners, which I guess is a possibility.
I think we do.
We do.
Shoot us an email. Oh, I'm really curious.
I'm sure we're
going to
get plenty of emails.
Thanks, John.
Yeah.
Plenty of them.
No.
Oh my!
All right, people.
I don't even want to think about when the next book's coming out because I want to not know.
I'm not ready.
No. We have not done nearly enough Pottercast yet.
No.
Well, Pottercast isn't going to end the day that the book comes out.
I told you guys when that book leaves my hands, when I put it down, I'm retiring from everything Pottercast. Goodbye.
You're so full of it. It's not even funny.
we are going to come in your house. And I'm going to sit on you until you talk on this Pottercast. So there's no escaping. Yeah. No.
No, he's full of it. I don't listen to him. Do you listen to him?
No.
No, but that's
just I love you.
But
we
it brings up a good
you.
Point. Reminded of the coming. Tapering down of the Harry Potter world, we want to do a lot more book stuff here on on Pottercast, and so the format's going to be a little bit of a shakeup for the next. It's not like a big changeover or anything, but we have a couple of ideas that we're trying to coordinate and put into progress, and that's where our energies are going behind the scenes. So there are some segments that we're not putting a lot of energy at the moment, such as Extendable Years,
yeah,
because we're worrying about some other stuff right now, and I think that you will enjoy what we're trying to put together
lot
when we get it together. So,
oh my gosh,
give us some patience for a few weeks. That's how it's going to be.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, because after all, we are here. I love the films, but we're here because of a book. So,
right.
Of course,
be good, be fun.
We're gonna be a nice, fair, and balanced, and most trusted name in Pottercast.
Podcast news.
Gonna be.
Most trusted name in Pottercast.
It's gonna be. Yeah. Well, that didn't make any sense. Fair and balanced. Books and movies and websites. Oh my.
Fair and balanced.
Like that. Hey, speaking of balanced and all, have you guys taken a look at our galleries lately?
Those little teeny things, or the big giganormous kickbook galleries?
I cannot even imagine. I have to do a gigabyte count and see how many gigabytes they're taking up. Right now, they are 19. I mean, there might be more by the time this comes out. 19,000 images. I don't
Rock
even.
Rock on.
That is a junk ton.
Let me tell you.
I can't wait to make my avatar for the Goblet of Fire. It's going to be the whole movie.
Well, we've recently uploaded screen caps from the entire film and screen caps from the deleted scenes and whatnot because we have a new gallery's image manager. Her name is Mary Hamm.
Hi, Mary Hamm.
Hey, Mary. Woohoo!
Let me tell you, I found her because I was goofing around on LiveJournal and I found this LiveJournal that had all these amazing pictures and I thought to myself, who is getting these pictures? She's incredible. And so I emailed her and said, you know, you seem like our kind of nut. And do you want to come work for us? And she was so excited. She just threw everything up in the air and said, yes, right away. And it was awesome. And it's like one of those finds, you know, when you find somebody that you know is perfect for a job. And she has brought tens of thousands now of pictures to these galleries.
Yeah, for sure.
I still have several thousand on my computer to upload into the new system from our changeover. She has at least 7,000 or 8,000 more to bring into the system.
Oh my golly, and a half.
I don't think I'm being unreasonable when I say we either are or will be shortly the largest Harry Potter image gallery online.
I think we can start saying that.
I mean,
that's stunning. See, when you think about it, that's an incredible amount of imagery.
So
wow.
Basically, from the first and the fourth film, if there's any moment of it you want, we've got an image of it.
Yes.
But they're just not movies, too, though. We have book scans. We have the art. You know, the artwork is just incredible.
A ton of high-res stuff. A ton of high-res stuff. All the actors' appearances and that kind of thing, they're mostly all high-res.
It's just
amazing.
And we've
got so much of Joe now from all the pictures of Joe have. If you want to print out and plaster your bedroom walls with pictures of Joe, like my room, you have everything you need. to do that.
Yeah. Or you could put Jason Isaacs too, which I perhaps might have done that, but I don't know.
And
both have the long blonde hair.
And when you're done surfing the galleries, if you want to have some image fun and go over, we have a link on the main page of our galleries to our galleries forum where Marauding Dawn, who used to be known as Marauding Dawn, now we call her Galleries Dawn or something. She came on a couple of months ago just to help us moderate this small little gallery we had like in the interim before the changeover to moderate the comments because they were getting out of control. And she went and she started moderating it. And now since the changeover, she went into this forum and started making caption contests and started having avatar fun and starting having featured galleries of the week and giving updates. And people are enjoying the heck out of it. And she's made it a whole little thing. So if you check out, you know what, we'll put a link in the show notes to that forum because she does such a great job that I want people to know about it.
Yeah, it's tremendous
stuff.
So thank you, Don and Mary.
It's tremendous.
Well, should we start moving on with it? What else do we have coming up for everybody? It's 33.
That's a good question.
We have a podcast about some stuff.
Guys, we've had to put up a whole new site for April Fool's Day. We're a little bit
out of the loop.
I'll make sure it goes into the intro. Yeah. So at this point, you already know what's in the fan interview in the modcast.
Let's make a guess. Yeah. Let's guess what the modcast is about.
It's about strawberry jam.
I'm going to guess something maybe we'll do with April Fool's.
No, I actually think they're going to do something serious, weren't they?
Well, they are definitely the most serious people on podcasts now. They're still hilarious, but...
Yes, they are. Yeah.
But they talk some great book stuff.
They do stuff. But they podcast about something stellar, I'm sure.
And lots of fun in the mailbag again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes,
lots
always.
Lots of fun in the mailbag.
Hey, guys, let's decide very soon and post on Leaky when the call-in cast will be, because I think instead of recording more mailbag for next week, we should do another call-in cast.
Okay, let's do it. Let's pick a date.
Great idea.
Look at the calendar.
Well, we have to talk to Kristen, because I think she should be in on this.
Okay. Because Easter's coming up, though, so we can't do it the 15th, right?
Yes.
So. No, let's not do it the 15th.
Yeah.
That's when taxes are due and everybody's busy.
I have a lot of eggs to paint by then.
Yeah.
Would make
you have said enough
Easter eggs.
About eggs for the rest of your life.
You're the one that brought that up.
And that's all we're saying on that topic. Because it has been censored. John Noe.
I have no idea what you're even talking
about. I'm glad
about
it means that you didn't get the right download. So you didn't get the incorrect download, so that's good.
Good stuff.
Let's go.
Oh, I remember
did you just
now.
Get it?
Yeah,
okay,
totally
good. Go to our forums if you want to know what this is about, because I'm sure it will turn up there.
Shall we
move on? Yes.
In the fan corner, a one-on-one interview with a new lucky fan each week.
Not me, not Hermione, you.
Hello, I am here today with José LeBlanc, otherwise known as José Medalla on the forums, and we are here today to talk about something that many fans here at the Leaky Lounge do, Harry Potter crafting. Hello, José, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very fine, thanks, and how are you?
I'm doing excellent. So I don't know if today you just want to start off by talking about how you did get into Harry Potter.
Yeah, sure. It all started off in 1999, I think. The French translation of Prisoner of Azkaban came out, and my brother, told me about the Harry Potter series, saying, you know, you should really read this. It's a very good story and everything. I told him, like, oh no, you know, stories about magic and wizards, and they're not really my type. And I went back to reading whatever I was reading back then. But then in the winter of 2001, I took a job as a tutor, and two of my clients were twin girls who needed help in French reading comprehension. I thought it might, you know, motivate them to work on books they liked, and so I asked them what they were reading. And to my great annoyance, they were both reading Harry Potter.
Wow.
One was reading Harry Potter à l'école des sorciers, which is Prisoner... Philosopher's Stone or Sorcerer's Stone, and the other was reading Harry Potter et la Chambre des Secrets, which is Chamber of Secrets.
Mm-hmm.
So I grudgingly borrowed those books from my brother again, and I started reading them, and of course I got instantly hooked. I read the first two books, I think, in like 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
While I was studying full-time at Cégep, which is our college is here in Quebec, I would have read the other two, but I felt it would have affected my grades very badly because I would just stop doing everything else when I read a Potter book. I believe I read the other two during the March break, and then I reread them in English in August or September, I think, 2001. Discovered the online fandom community, and the rest is history, I guess.
Yeah, you were. I was reading on your live journal that you have 40 different copies of the books in English and French and just many other.
Yeah, I have them in Spanish. I have them in German. I have them in Portuguese. I have the American Collector's Edition. I have the American Regular.
Wow. Yeah, my sister makes fun of me for having both the hardcover and the softcover.
Well, never mind, she can having just them come to my languages. Place and she'll think you're very normal.
Now, also, as we are here to talk about Harry Potter crafts, I do one form of crafts that are, you know, online graphics. Some people do fan art. What sort of crafts do you do, not only in the Harry Potter world, but outside of?
Well, principally, like, I've always been really crafty. I started off crafting by, well, I was around 9, I think.
What sort of made you think, oh, you know, I like crafting, I like Harry Potter, I should really start putting the two together and making different Harry Potter crafts?
Well, the idea to combine Harry Potter and crafts came because of the lounge, actually. It was, first it was Liluna, I hope I pronounced that right. She started a thread in the Room of Requirements at the end of May. She said that, you know, we should all get together and send Joe Rowling a birthday project present. And so I suggested that we make padded photo albums using the Harry Potter fabrics and fill them with member pictures and letters to Joe, you know. That project was put on hold because obviously it was May and Havlet Prince was just about to get released. And it is still on hold because it's a project that would need to be approved and overlooked by admins and mods at the lounge. And we all know how busy you all are, so that's why it was put on hold. And then Narya came to me back in July because she had found a Harry Potter cross-stitching pattern. It was Harry Potter catching the snitch. And she thought the pattern was in French and wanted my help with the translation, as I'm an English or French translator, but I can do backwards also. Turns out the pattern was in Spanish, but my third language is Spanish. And her knowledge of cross-stitching and my knowledge of Spanish, like, that combined, we managed to figure it all out. And I thought that pattern looked really nice, and so I decided to self-teach myself to cross-stitch. And so that's where I thought, you know, we should really combine those two. They make a really nice couple.
Wow. Now, you have started a Yahoo craft group called Harry Potter Crafts, which I am a member of. There are a lot of different members that some of them do, you know, I do more visual online things, whereas there are a lot of members who do more physical cross-stitch and different things like that. Can you give us some background of that group, different activities that they do, things like that?
Yeah. Well, at the group, there are files where we can have a little tutorials teaching you how to do certain things. There aren't that many. Right now, I know I created a file teaching people how to do the padded photo albums. Then there are pictures, loads of pictures, some that some are projects that member did. Others are pictures I kind of sneaked from crafter.org. I typed Harry Potter in the search box there and I got loads of pictures. So I thought I might share them with the members so that they could get inspiration. We also have swaps going on from time to time. And there are loads of links because there was, well, I think it was last weekend, I just got into a linking frenzy, and so
crafting mood.
I posted about 90 new links to the group.
So, find a lot of the links that you post in there are helpful because sometimes people will see these crafts and they'll go, wow, you know, I can do that. A lot of people that, you know, for instance, I can't cross-stitch to save my life, but I'll look at some of these different crafts and be like, you know, that makes a lot of sense, and there are directions there. So if, you know, you kind of need some help as you go along the way, this is something that you can you know, you can follow along and start. You can start with smaller things, and then you can get up to bigger things. So it's something that's all, it's definitely cool and something to get interested in. Do you have any examples of perhaps knitting?
Yes, knitting, there's loads and loads and loads and loads of things you can do. There are a lot of patterns that are available for free on the net. You can check out the knitting thread in the Butterbeer Banter section. I put in a lot of knitting links there. But in short, you can do scarves in either first two movies design where you have a large equal stripes, or movie 3 and 4 designs, which are a little different. You can make Weasley sweaters. You can make...
I want a Weasley sweater. Yeah. Now, how about for those of us who, you know, aren't as good with the needle and the thread, what kind of miscellaneous sort of stuff do you have?
Well, there are lots of things that can fit in that category. I've seen monster books. I've seen monster books purses. Astra, one of our group members, showed us how to make time turners, which looks amazing. And another member, Amy, found some cute little charm hourglasses, which are quite nice. You can make pensieves. Astarte made one, which is another group member, and they're really nice. You can make wands, wooden boxes of all sorts. You can make coasters. You can make all sorts of jewelry items. You can stencil t-shirts. You can make bookmarks of all shapes and sizes. I've seen lighters. I've seen handmade books, which are really quite nice. You can make house magnets, port keys, cool books. The list can go on and on and on, but I guess I'll stop here.
Thanks for talking about sort of the Harry Potter craft world and what different things we can do. Are you ready for the infamous live or die segment?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Okay, first of all, we'll start off perhaps with something sort of easy. Harry?
I hope that Harry will live. I don't want him to die. If he does, I'll cry my eyes out or something.
I will also be very, very sad. Now, how about Ron?
Ron must live. I'm a one whole big Weasley family supporter, so none of the Weasley...
None of all the Weasleys are going to make it?
Yeah, they can't die.
Now, how about Hermione?
Well, Hermione needs to be with Ron, so she needs to be part of the whole big Weasley family, so she can't die as well.
Good to see we're on the same train of thought there.
Yeah.
Okay, how about Voldemort?
This is a tough one because I don't think that he will die. It's really tough. I just don't know. I'd like him to die, but I don't know.
Okay, well, we're kind of out of time here, so I'm just going to say thank you very much for joining us. And I hope you had a good time. It was very nice to interview, and you gave us lots of good ideas.
Oh, well, so, thank you very much.
Thanks. See you in the lounge.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
And now, straight from the Leaky Lounge, this week's modcast.
Oh dear, we are in trouble.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the modcast. This is Jason, known on the forums as the Guru of Sloth.
This is Kim, the ever creatively titled.
Kim what?
Oh, Kim M. Parker. This is Lorraine Demarel, otherwise known as Asphodel Wormwood. And today, we're going to be doing all about the Dursleys. And to start us off, I thought I'd read something that, when I first read it, I thought was quite funny. And then I realised what Vernon was actually saying. Well, said Uncle Vernon, recalling Harry to his surroundings. What now? Have they sentenced you to anything? Do your lot have the death penalty? He added as a hopeful afterthought. I've got to go to a hearing, said Harry. And they'll sentence you there? I suppose so. I won't give up hope then, said Uncle Vernon nastily. Yeah, so the Vernons. The Vernons? The Dursleys. Vernon in particular.
Are exactly Laurie's
nice
type.
People.
Don't really like Harry. They're not, though. They're not cool. They don't wear really cool masks.
No. Well, and don't forget, I mean,
they
how
have
it
really
turns
cool
out,
tattoos.
They were proud to say that they are perfectly normal. Thank you very much. I mean, that's our first interaction we get with them.
It's like they're so... Their normalcy is almost like... draws attention to them because it's so like forced
and so inflated.
You know, Yeah, they try so hard to be what they think is normal that they're so, that it like glares out at you, that it stands out where, you know, you would think what they're trying to do is blend in or whatever.
One of the things that always interests me is just how, and it's coming up a lot in my room right now, in my reading group room, since we're doing the first couple of chapters of Sorcerers and Philosopher's Stone, is just how sadistic they come off.
Oh, yeah.
And how, I mean, in that first little bit, we've been looking at the first three chapters, so those are what are fresh in everyone's minds, but, and you have, Vernon is so desperate for the letters to never reach Harry that, you know, he takes them to the island on the rock, and he takes them,
would, it's like a mania.
He would rather inconvenience and, you know, put his son through discomfort so that Harry can't get these letters. In addition to being just completely sadistic towards Harry.
I mean,
yeah, it's not a normal reaction.
You know, you wonder, is he trying, I mean, is this just almost like, kind of like a mental break where he just like wants to be able to maintain that this stuff doesn't exist? Or is it more like he refuses to let Harry come in touch with these people, you know, which probably makes more sense.
Yeah, I always thought it was
rational,
more that he, I mean, he obviously, Harry's been doing weird things his whole life, so he obviously...
Yeah,
he can't be that in denial. I think it's more that he just doesn't want him to come into any contact at all with any of these people.
Yeah.
Because then...
Why?
Why? Because then he'd have to admit that his perfect little normal life isn't the only thing that's there.
Isn't normal.
And isn't normal. That it has this huge big black mark against him.
Yeah.
Because I always thought that the reason he did it... Because the way I've always seen Vernon, in a very, very strange way, he loves his family... too much, you know, the way he overindulges Dudley, the way he's protecting Petunia and protecting Dudley, because I'll probably come to it later, but why Petunia, you know, she fears magic, basically, in short, because magic killed her sister and she's seen how destructive it can be. So she fears magic, and Vernon picks up on this, and so he starts fearing it too, because he knew it. So it does bad things. He doesn't realize it's just a way of life. It's just, it just is. It doesn't have to be good or bad. It's just like ordinary life is. And so he tries to protect his family from it, as well as just trying to maintain something normal.
Well, my...
Yeah, I think there's something to that.
My group has picked up on the idea, and I actually cannot at all take credit for this one. This one I literally stole from reading through the threads this morning. that if you look at their roles in the beginning, Vernon's almost scared of Petunia at some point.
Yeah, definitely.
And
it's most of the time he's the one in front,
yeah, but there are just these moments where he's frightened.
She seems to call the shots behind the scenes.
And you see that they started bringing up.
I've always tried to work that out.
They've started bringing up the same parts in book five that Laurie read. But you see these parts, and almost some are starting to theorize whether or not it's that fear of magic. He's almost afraid that we know Petunia's not going to do any magic. We've been told that by this point. But he almost. Well, he knows her sister had that. Maybe there's something there that can be impacting it. But also, I think that some of his protection isn't just that he loves his family, and some of the stuff that he does against Harry is not so much that. It's also that he's seen what magic can do, and he doesn't want that anywhere near his family.
Yeah. I think, I mean, it comes so much of what they do is out of fear. And, you know, and this is, again, I'm stealing somewhat from my reading group, but, you know, people are talking so much about, you know, prejudice in a lot of senses is really like a reaction, you know, a bad reaction to fear, and like kind of a shortcut, you know, a cheap way to deal with things that you're afraid of or don't understand. You know, it's just to set yourself apart from them. And I think that definitely explains a lot of their behavior. And it makes you wonder like how much Vernon really knows or understands about the wizarding world or about magic. And did he have any idea of Petunia's relationship to, you know, to magic, that she had a sister who was a witch before they got married? And, you know, would he have been willing to marry her under those circumstances or what?
Yeah, because I'd have thought that given Petunia's reaction, she would have tried to have hidden it from any future family, so she could, like, right, I'm going to go get married, I'm going to have my own family, and I'm going to completely sever all ties with any association with magic. But Vernon knows about everything.
Right.
I mean, so, yes, they did have a baby magically appear on their doorstep.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean...
But he knew about her family before that. right? Because that was like their greatest fear, like in the first couple of pages of the book before that Harry shows up, that anyone would find out about the Potters.
So why did she tell him about it? Or maybe they'd been going out for a long time and he was just round for tea and Lily comes home with maybe that awful boy or some frog spawn or anything that could have been a bit, you know, that she couldn't explain away. Oh, that's just my abnormal sister. Oh, no, my sister's just blown something up.
It makes you wonder that maybe Petunia's, I mean, she was probably always jealous and probably had a bad reaction against magic, but maybe maybe her attitude has like changed as a result of Vernon, or like maybe she sought out Vernon.
I don't know. I think maybe she was
the most non-magic person.
Because I think she's almost she's almost jealous in a lot of ways of Lily.
Yeah.
I mean, and
the idea
of seeking out Vernon because he is just the complete opposite of what Lily's world is.
Yeah. Which makes me wonder if maybe she used to not be so much, you know, kindly disposed towards magic, but maybe she didn't have this complete, like, shunning attitude until Vernon kind of was like, well, you know, if you're going to be with me, like, I won't put up with any of this
nonsense. Well, I think she
resented
it for a long time. Because, you know, the way I think she's just, you know, she's describing her parents, you know, it was Lily this, it was Lily that.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just, I mean, I think if it hadn't been for, I mean, any parent, if you've got a magical child and you never expect it, your reaction's going to be huge. And that is going to an impact upon a non-magical child, and it's going to be hard. And
especially
Petunia
a
took it really badly.
Probably more talented, better looking.
Yeah, I always
like,
got the
know,
sense. I always got the sense Lily was at everything. Sister, you know.
Oh,
but then maybe, right, and let's go into romance zone. Maybe Vernon comes along and he's like James. He's besotted with this Evans girl, Petunia, we're talking about.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. And Petunia's like, wow, someone thinks I'm cool for not being magical. I'm going to marry this guy. And, you know, and I still can't explain how she happens to tell Vernon all about the magical world. But I think it was probably, I don't know, I'm trying to read psychology that I don't know or understand into this. So I'm going to stop now.
It's possible, you know, maybe James or Lily gave it away. Like, you know, maybe, I guess Vernon probably would have met them at some point.
Maybe James hexed her in front of Vernon.
I mean, you figure James
I wish I could do that.
Grew up in a wizard and he was never lived in the Muggle world. He probably didn't really know how to hide anything.
Telephoning Harry. I don't know. It's interesting though watching how the relationship with the Dursleys changes over the course of the novels, and how their relationship with Harry changes. I think by book five, you really do see that Petunia is in charge. He will stay.
Mm.
It's interesting though because she really doesn't seem to want to be normally. Like she's embarrassed and like she doesn't want to show Vernon that she knows anything. You know, like when she makes a slip about the Dementors, she's like, oh my gosh, Vernon, like he's going to hate me now. But then, you know, when it comes down to it, like there's certain things, I guess, that maybe from her correspondence with Dumbledore, you know, we could probably do a whole nother modcast on all the things that Petunia knows and hopefully we'll find out in book seven. But, you know, there's something that she kind of knows is even more important, I think, than their sort of stand against magic that, you know, at some point she has to put her foot down and Vernon, for whatever reason, respects that. Or, you know, maybe he knows something too, or he just senses that, okay, I can't cross Petunia here. Like, I know her too well. She wouldn't stand up unless it was a big deal.
She chooses her battles. She knows which battles are worth fighting and which ones are just so unimportant that she'll just let him win it, which is a nice trick to a nice sustaining relationship. If you're going to be in charge, you learn which battles to pick.
It lends credit to Petunia's intelligence because, I mean, she can't be all that stupid, really. I mean, Lily was an exceptionally bright student. And yes, Petunia wasn't magical, but that doesn't mean she
has to be stupid. No. I never saw her as stupid.
She seems
she's just quiet.
Yeah. It's like she's trying to make herself stupid. Yeah. Like, she doesn't want to know the things she knows.
Because if she doesn't know them, they can't hurt her. They can't hurt Dudley.
Yeah.
Yeah, particularly.
Which is interesting because given, I mean, their treatment of Harry is horrendous. The cupboard under the stairs, making him their virtual slave.
Oh,
I mean, but what they do to Dudley is worse by far. And Dumbledore hits it on the nose, though. What they've done to Dudley is far worse than anything they did to Harry.
Yeah. I would find it hard
you
to compare
so?
The two.
You think so? They did what they did to Harry deliberately.
Yeah, but
I think that's worse because they meant to hurt Harry. They didn't mean to hurt
Dudley. But they still don't think they hurt Dudley.
They don't see
what because of how they turned out. It's easy to say that what they did to Dudley was worse, but it's so easy to see how, like, how did Harry turn out normal? Like, you know, living under that roof for 11 years. And I mean, how does he have any social skills at all? Is one thing I wonder. Like, he's not used to having friends or, like, speaking to anyone who's nice to him ever.
He would have been that kid in the back of the classroom just sitting there, never participating. Because if he did, because he was, like, picked on at school so much. Because, you know, of Dudley's gang.
Right.
He learned what to say and what not to say around certain people to keep himself safe. So although you don't learn social skills like a child who wasn't treated like Harry would be, he did learn some understanding of how children interact and how they work.
I guess that's true. He probably observed a lot because he pretty much had to stay silent most of the time.
Mm. Well, I think on that note... we'll leave the Dursleys in their little muggle world and Privet Drive.
Anyways.
Well, this is me, Laurie Damrow, saying goodbye.
This is Kim saying goodbye, and I have very pretty colored nails thanks to this modcast.
Ooh. And this is Jason saying, I don't have different colored nails, but thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Mail's here.
A bit early for mail, isn't it?
But I never get mail.
Let's open it.
Mail!
The mail's here!
Mail time!
Oh, great. Thanks.
Hello, everyone. Here's the part where we examine your written correspondence to us here at Pottercast.
No, your spoken correspondence. You ask us to answer your question, and we do a really, really bad job of it.
No, I think we stay on topic for a few seconds.
A few seconds.
We're on topic for about the first half a minute.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair assessment.
What is that game like where you say one thing?
Telephone.
Yeah, telephone, and then it gets... by the end of the thing, it's something completely different.
It's a big game of telephone.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm Big J over here doing some voicemails again. And my lady friends are also here. I'd forget their names.
Who else is here?
Sue!
Oh, well, that would be me because I'm reading the wrong thing. Because we're supposed to be doing voicemails and I'm on email. So I'm clearly in the wrong segment. So, hello, this is Sue, lost.
Oh, QZ.
Somebody help me.
And I'm Melissa. And who do we got over there?
I'm Kristen.
Super K.
Who's not sick?
Who's not sick? Yay!
Yay! Healthy Super K. Yay.
All right, Super K, let's go into the first voicemail.
Here we go. Oh, my gosh!
Hi, guys. My name's Adam Russo, and I was wondering what you guys thought on Ron and Hermione and how they'll be able to help Harry in the next book. Okay? Thanks. Pottercast is great. The best one out there.
Oh, God, this is a whole podcast worth of questions.
I know.
I know.
Jeez. What do we think about Harry? What do we think about Ron and Hermione?
I don't know, Kristen. What do we think about Ron and Hermione?
Well, what do we think about Ron and Hermione in the book or in the movies? Because as I've stated before, in the movies, I want Harry and Hermione to get together. Because,
dude, in the movies, I'm with you. They are all over each other in those movies.
They already are together outside of the movies.
John, please don't start that.
Aren't they dating?
No.
I
think they're going to get their act together over the summer and will be of great help. Ron will be there as like moral support. And also, I mean, he has many skills. And as we all know, Hermione's a genius. So,
well, Ron's already a qualified wizard.
Yeah.
Isn't Hermione? Am I insane? Did Hermione turn 17 in September?
Yeah, Hermione.
Or does she turn 17 in the coming September?
No, Hermione's older, isn't she?
She's older, remember?
So they are two qualified wizards going with him to the Dursleys.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Evil cackle.
They're going to turn some things into pigtails.
That'd be great. That'd be really cool.
Can't wait to see what they do. But no, they're going to, I mean, those three sort of make up a working whole, you know. Harry's the brain, not the brains, he's the brave, the brawn. Ron.
Harry's the brawn?
Not the brawn, but like
the tool,
the skill. He's the one that has experience fighting these things.
Yeah.
And he's the one with the bravery to go in there and do whatever has to be done.
Yeah, if there's ever an opportunity for Harry to have to disarm something, he'd be right there on the money.
John, you're so wrong about this. You're so wrong. You keep sticking to this notion that he only knows Expelliarmus.
That's only no Expelliarmus.
Well, he doesn't point.
Or he clams up when he's fighting and Expelliarmus.
And it works, and it has saved his life multiple times, and it got Dumbledore.
If Harry was under enough stress and he was stuck behind a locked door, he'd try to Expelliarmus the locked door.
He probably would.
And then Hermione would push him out of the way and be like, "Dude, Alohomora,
Bombarda."
Yeah, or Pumbarda.
It's like a multi-purpose spell. It's good for everything.
Yeah, and the dang movies, it knocks people out. It's stupefying the movies. It's like, guys, if you wanted to knock out Crumb, Cedric, when he's milky-eyed and you do an Expelliarmus, that's not going to knock him out. You need to stupefy him.
Yeah, it did sort of knock him out in the movie, didn't it?
But it did, yeah. It worked.
John,
so, hey.
I'm in the movies. I'm not in the book right now. I can knock him out with an Expelliarmus. And I'm like, oh, Cedric, my bad. I apologize. You're absolutely right.
I'm at a loss of where to go from
there. Maybe Crumb was just so embarrassed from losing his wand that he just fainted.
Yeah, that's it.
That could have been
it. He was so ashamed of getting stuck by Expelliarmus, he fainted.
I think it was reaction to those milky eyeballs. That's all that was.
Maybe if you get disarmed when you're under the Imperius Curse, you faint.
Okay, we've got some questions to get through.
Hi, guys. I was just thinking about the answer to the FAQ poll that was on JKR's site, that when a secret keeper dies, that essentially the secret dies with them. So I was wondering, what would prevent Lord Voldemort from creating a Horcrux, telling the secret keeper where it's hidden and its location, and then turn around and AK that person, and then the secret of the Horcrux dies with them, and he's good to go for all eternity. So just wondered why he wouldn't do that. So thanks. Bye.
Well, that's not a very nice thing to do.
But the what now?
She said that if the...
What would be the secret?
Where his Horcrux is. Because if you die, the secret dies with you.
Surely
so if you kill somebody...
You know, there's got to be like a trust element to that. You can't just... Okay, you're my secret keeper. Now I'm going to kill you. Yeah.
It sounds like a loophole, huh?
There's got to be a trust element,
though,
between me and the person.
Ojo. Joe.
I'm just saying.
Loophole.
Well, that person might have to want to be a secret keeper, but I'm sure there's plenty of Death Eaters that would literally die to be. I mean, look at Bellatrix. She'd offer her babies up on a silver platter.
She would.
I think John should write a fan fiction about this.
Oh, the loophole?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, here's something I want. Remember Dumbledore said that Voldemort would want to keep the person who found the Horcrux alive to find out how they found out, you know, and then make them suffer or whatever death? I think Voldemort might be too vain to make sure that nobody can possibly ever find his Horcruxes. He may want somebody, because he knows that it would take something superhuman like Harry to come and find all of them and kill them.
Did anybody else find any parallels between the trials in Book 6 to find the Horcrux, going through the cave, finding the invisible bow, going through the crazy poison liquid, to grabbing the key on the broom, going through the chess match, finding the right potion, and getting through the mirror?
Yes.
You think that was a coincidence or just something she likes to write about?
There's an element of treasure hunt and adventure finding that is great for books like these, that might be why. But I think, John, you might be onto something.
I have a little doubts because I like, you're talking in the first book, like the seven like chess moves, or is that what we're talking about?
No, I'm just talking about everything in general, just the idea that don't find the stone. But if you get down there, the really clever person could find the stone.
She said that Harry has amassed more knowledge than he realizes, but I think that refers to other books. Like, for instance, he has figured out how to get into the Chamber of Secrets. He has seen a brilliant trick like Dumbledore's with the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he has that in his head to try on different things. You know, he's figured out all this stuff about finding things throughout these books.
Sure.
That maybe that's just informing what he's going to end up having to do.
I still think it'll be something simple that will ultimately prove to be his downfall.
Like what, Sue?
Just all these spells that, I mean, it happens in almost every book that something simple that Harry does, whether it's Expelliarmus or something simple, is what ends up saving the day. So this is what I think. I mean, Harry can be extraordinary and learn all these little tricks, but I think that it's going to be that Voldemort is so overconfident in his...
I'm still standing by my previous theory from, I don't know how many weeks ago, and that the idea... that there's going to be a final confrontation, and it's not going to be all crazy battle like book five.
Yeah, I'm with that.
It's going to be idea that it's going to be Harry's, you know, compassion that he's going to spend all his time learning about Voldemort's life, Riddle's life, through finding the Horcruxes and everything. And he's going to be the one person that will be able to look Voldemort in the eye and not be terrified like everybody else, not be so afraid to not even be able to say his name, and even look at the guy. He's going to be looking death in the face and be like, dude, I'm not going to fight you. I feel bad for you and your life. And Voldemort won't be able to accept someone being so compassionate like that he'll try to kill him anyway, and then some kind of magical.
But we came at that, there was like a group think talk, and uh-huh. we were like, we figured it out. And I've gone back and listened to that, and I think it's got a lot. I mean, I have to pat ourselves on the back.
Yeah.
It's got to be something like that curse comes back, that the rebounding of that curse plays another significant role.
Because it'd be full mm-hmm. circle. That's how messing up the first time in the first book, and then that's how we'll close the book. Is that was Voldemort doing the killing, or the attempted killing all along. We're not going to turn Harry into a killer, because he wouldn't know how to anyway, because he stinks at magic.
All right, well, do we want to do our next voicemail?
Sure.
Yep, let's do some more.
Hey guys, it's Andrew the House Elf here from the Leaky Lounge, and I was wondering if you thought that the current absence of Mundungus Fletcher from the Order of the Phoenix film means that the theory of Dung taking Locket from Grimmauld Place has been shut down. I know some people think that it has been, but I don't agree. So what are your thoughts? Live each and every episode. Bye.
No.
Absolutely not.
Well, that was fast.
Excellent. Yeah. Next question.
They get into this book six, I'm sure is a nice book, but it was nothing to do with my movie, says the directors. That's the moment you want to smack him in the back of the head. Yeah. You're like, dang it, every book is important to your movie. Don't you get it?
Yeah. I wish one of these directors would be as obsessed, in the same quality of obsessed we are. We know that Chris Columbus got obsessed with the books. We know Alfonso Cuarón got obsessed.
Oh, I don't.
But not the way that we do. Not the way that we try and puzzle out the way things are going in the series as a whole. Because otherwise there would be things that wouldn't be cut.
Right.
I think their obsession is they got obsessed with Harry Potter like a fan fiction artist gets obsessed mm-hmm. with Harry Potter. And they're not obsessed with Joe Rowling. What can I turn Harry Potter into?
They're not looking.
When they make their little changes mm-hmm. and when they make their little adjustments to the story to fit their vision of Harry Potter. Those people are people I have very little patience with.
Well, I want people to just not to be obsessed with that. I want them to be obsessed with...
People don't need to be obsessed with Harry Potter. People need to respect J.K. Rowling when they're going to make a movie about her material.
They need to be obsessed with making sure they get it right, not obsessed with making sure they do something that fits their quality of whatever. You know, they need to be obsessed exactly. with making sure what they're doing fits in with everything else.
And I'm sorry, reading another book that comes after your book is not a lot to quantify as an obsession. It's responsible research.
I know, Mike Newell said he didn't read book six because in the filming of book four,
it wasn't relevant.
I know.
It wasn't relevant. Actually, that quote came out here on Pottercast.
Dude, it did.
Yeah.
What a bum.
Not a bum. He did a good movie, but come on. How long is it going to take you to read this? Really,
I know. Hell, Musa did it in under 12 hours.
10 hours.
10 hours, yeah. And I'm almost finished with it. So anybody John. Can read that book.
Oh my god, you're a terrible man.
She says in her southern drawl, you're a terrible man. Shall we go on?
Mm-hmm.
Hey Pottercast, it's Oscar Kaplan from Miami Beach, Florida. I don't know if it was mentioned or if you discussed it, but what house is Dumbledore in, and does his house represent who he is? Love your show. Have a great night. Bye.
Gryffindor. He's gotta be.
Oh, yeah. So shocked. In Gryffindor,
Did she ever say
that?
It's
Dumbledore's own house. We learned about it in book one.
Oh, that's right. Hermione says in book one. All right, well, then we'll click, because if one person left this voicemail, then a lot of people out here don't know it. So, yes, it's been said that it's Gryffindor.
I love it that there's new Harry Potter fans at this point.
Sure.
That haven't read them 1,000 times yet.
And you can't remember you can't remember everything.
Here's my question about Dumbledore. Okay. The ring he's wearing. Why does he wear the Horcrux ring? Why? What would possess him to want to wear that around?
Because he's in love with Tom Riddle.
Didn't they say the crest might be his or something? I read something somewhere that the crest was traceable back to a certain crest, and it might be
Somebody send me this out there if you have it. Something about the crest and how it might be his family. And Joe did say that his family was worth investigating.
Oh, maybe that was it. Interesting.
He has been more into Tom Riddle than anybody in his entire life, including Harry Potter.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's really mm-hmm. true. Good point.
He has been more obsessed mm-hmm. with that man than anybody else.
Could he be Godric's heir?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because didn't we decide yeah. that, or isn't the theory that Fox actually belonged to Godric?
To yeah. Godric Gryffindor.
So, wouldn't that make sense?
That would make sense.
And it would make sense that his you know, I don't know, a lot mm-hmm. would make sense.
That's why he's
also,
the most powerful.
Why is he held on mm-hmm. to that sword if he wasn't going to teach Harry how to use it, other than possibly it is a trinket of his family line?
Yeah. Well, he did say that a trinket of Godric Gryffindor's had to be kept safe because Voldemort would be after it.
Right, so I think that was it.
But that still could be. And
I mean, he had
there's
display.
Something about his crest.
He didn't hide it.
People out there, I know you know. Something about it, there is something about Dumbledore, the crest on that ring that has been researched. Please find it and send us the link.
Yeah.
On that note, let's wrap this up. Sue, how can they get to us if they want to leave us a voicemail?
If you would like to contact any of us here at Pottercast, you can use on Skype and contact us at Pottercast, or in voicemail in the U.S., you can phone 1-702-42-53259. That's 1-702-42-LEAKY.
What's funny?
And in the UK, don't do it. Don't do it.
Stop it, John. Stop it. Sue is hanging on by.
I'm having play on words. Deja
in the
vu.
Up, it's 0201.
Plus.
No. It's in the UK, it's 0207193-2872. Or you can email us the old-fashioned way here at staff@pottercast.com, or even more old-fashioned way, get out your quills and write us at P.O. Box 40559, Staten Island, New York, 10304. Attention, Leaky Cauldron. Attention, Melissa. Attention, the Plus King, Burrito Boy, whatever you want to do.
The Plus King. Dude, there's going to be a little plush doll of John, and you're going to push the stomach, and it's going to go plus, plus, plus.
Press the
plus. Actually, there should be like the Potter song, but it should be John going plus, 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 plus.
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail!
We're back.
Boom, boom, boom. Oh, we're back.
I love these drums. Don't you guys love these drums?
I do.
Sue, how's your microphone?
Awesome.
You sound really good.
It's rocking. I love it.
Sue and I, and soon John,
yes.
might sound a little better this week, we hope.
Mm-hmm.
I have to give a shout out. We got these Snowball Blue microphones. If you've ever heard of them, you know what we're talking about. But we got them for a big discount from a friend over at PodSafeGear.com, Paul Puri. So thank you, Paul. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
PodSafeGear.com. And on that site, there are links to his podcasts and everything. He's also, in addition, a really cool guy. So
these microphones are really cool. I just got to say, they're just like retro hip cool, and I dig it.
And we're trying to get it sorted because it picks up everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
The radiator last week, that was because of that mic. And I'm still trying to figure out how to not sound like I'm in an auditorium. I got to make like insulation and all this stuff. But the sound that you get in trade-off for that is just so much better.
Yeah.
That.
Anyway.
So what's coming next week?
Podcast 34. Be a fun week.
It might be our call-in show.
It could be our call-in show.
It could be. Or when's our impersonation contest coming? That's coming soon, too.
Oh,
no.
Impersonation
let's
contest,
announce it now.
Game shows.
Okay. Let's
let's have a vote for the order that they want that stuff.
Oh, no, but I want people to start sending in their impersonations.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm ready for that. I'm excited for that.
Give us your best impersonation of Melissa.
No.
No.
And of
no.
Sue.
Well, there's only one thing that they're going to say.
Oh, God, yeah.
Do an impersonation of a character from the books or from the movies. Leave it on our voicemail box or send it in to us in email at staff@pottercast.com.
Okay.
So what are the numbers where you can...
In the U.S., phone 1-702-42-53259. That's 1-702-42-LEAKY. In the U.K., plus...
Plus.
020 plus 0207193-2872. Or you can email, as Melissa said, to staff@podcast.com, or, you know,
all that good
Skype
stuff.
Us, baby.
Yeah. Skype name Podcast.
Skype at podcast.kism.
You leave us a voicemail. We will play your impressions and react to them as we did the first time.
Yes.
3 weeks ago.
We'll pick the best one, and then you earn a kiss from a list from Vegas.
No, that last person got a prize from the Cauldron
Show. Oh, that's right. That's even better, I'm about to say.
They did. And I think they should get it
nice.
Again.
Okay,
absolutely.
Let's get that again. Everybody will win one Dobby from Sharper Image.
No.
You're choosing.
That would have to be a really amazingly good promotion if everybody got to win a Dobby.
For entering, you get a Dobby from Sharper Image.
Not so much.
From Muffle
Net. No. No. But you'll get something, I think it was under $30 last time was the price limit, and she got to pick whatever she wanted from thecauldronshop.com, and we got it for her.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I have a fun little idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not really my idea, because we talked about this already. But how about for Pottercast 34, instead of your regular lovely fan interview segment, we hear more from more fans than we normally do it.
Like we've done a couple
like
of times.
Like we've done a few times. Let's have everybody call in with a specific voicemail or response. While you're sitting there doing your impersonations, let us know what you think of a particular topic. Let's pick that topic.
Nothing about Horcruxes, nothing about Snape,
no.
I'm done.
And see,
how about the title of Book 7 or something, you know? I mean, we were just talking about Josite or...
The chess game.
Oh, the 7 moves.
What importance, if any, do you think that chess game has in the larger scope of the 7th book in the series?
Yes, and I know a particular
theory.
Handful of Potter fans that have a lot to say about that.
Yes,
I'll
they
be
do.
Very it's disappointed really... if I don't, we don't hear from her.
Millie and Lizard Laugh.
Yes.
Yes.
Even though their theory was, quote-unquote, pawned, P-W-N-E-D, particular smidgen of netspeak that is everywhere.
Well,
their
but
theory
there's...
was shot down by Joe. Shot down through the heart.
Oh, wait,
but
I
just
want to do
aspect
that one, then?
Of it, though. They were talking about the time travel part, right? That's the part that got shot down. Not the 7 moves for 7 of for the 7 books, right?
Right. But the theories that they were coming up with because of those 7 moves had to do with the it was all very, very amazingly well thought out. If you have any
yes.
idea, if you don't know, this is the Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, number 2, K-I-N-G.net. So they have a lot to say about the chessboard. So if you guys are proponents of that theory, we want to hear from you.
Yes.
But we want to hear from any of you who have anything to say about the chess game and what it had to do with the rest of the series.
Yes. Is it a foreshadow of how the war will play out? Is it just for fun? Is it just make good reading and good watching in a movie? What do you think?
Is it just adventure?
Send those to regular voicemails. Record yourself on your cute little sound recorder programs and mill those in however you want to do it.
Right.
Go with us.
Absolutely.
We will air those
that's
as many
theory.
As you send next week.
Cool.
Okay. Then let's get out of here, huh?
Yeah. Rock on.
Sounds good.
A lot to do all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Suddenly we have things to do.
How about a few listener challenges for you? Bam.
No more.
Bam.
Not
no.
right now. We have enough to do.
I didn't get to do a little fan art challenge.
Oh, but we're kind
we
of...
We didn't get nearly enough fan art challenges for the last couple of weeks, so I'm disappointed,
yeah.
guys.
Yeah,
makes me sad.
I am, too.
Mm. Oh, well.
Okay. Well, let's do it.
Is that the end of the show?
I think
how do you think we did this week, guys?
It might have been the best
podcast. Don't! I'm not that <that's> cool!
You've done. You set
I'm
it up.
Trying to
I was
set up myself.
The joke is way old. Nobody's appreciating it anymore, but you set it up so beautifully.
Do you think I do this for anybody but myself? You have another thing coming. If you think I'm going to do that joke for anybody but me.
Well, then you got to get it in there, man. You can't let it hang like that.
I hang for all 0.2 seconds. I do agree with you. That was probably the best podcast 33 we've ever done this week. So
does it make you feel better to just say it
anyway? It does, you know?
Okay, then I'll let you have that small joy.
Okay. No. I just took your thing. You happy?
So now you're reverting to making fun of me?
You just made fun of me. You said I wasn't even funny.
I wasn't making fun of you. I wasn't mimicking you. I was doing your thing. I wasn't doing my thing.
Well, that was the best way I could do your thing, so I wasn't mimicking.
Okay.
That was you making fun of my attempt.
You say to Mota...
Way to go.
Them.
Way to make fun
let's
of me.
Call the whole thing
all right, I don't want to bicker with John anymore. Let's
Melissa Spartanelli.
Don't. I got called that enough for one day.
All right, boys and girls.
My splendid thing.
Let's go, guys. Let's leave.
Yay. No.
Yay.
Sad.
Goodbye. We love you.
Thanks for downloading.
Mwah. It's a day in my
Hey, it's not Valentine's Day.
Yeah. You know, I used to do that when I was little. I used to go up to like my family and friends and stuff and say hello instead of like giving them a kiss on the cheek or a hug. I would go, mwah!
Aww.
And it became a thing. So when I hear you do that, Sue, it always makes me chuckle.
Yeah.
Aww. I also used to go, mozzarella!
Mozzarella.
Just for fun.
That's a fun word to say. Cheese, mozzarella!
If you can't say it like that, then just we can't be friends.
Aww. That's right.
Okay. Let's go.
Bye, everybody!
We've missed it.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.
From and
yes. I don't know. Anything?
No.
Oh my. Yeah, for sure.
Be cool. Yeah, because.
Hello.
And we're back.
I
Melissa, darling. Perfect.
Thank you, Paul. That's worth it.
No. It's like we're talking to you.
We're talking to you.
End of story. Goodbye. The end.